Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show here on 100.5 FM CFRO Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, December the 21st, 2012. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I'm joined here today by my co-hosts, Jackie McIntosh and,
hello.
Hey, and our new guest co-host, Jenny Rempel.
Hey.
So today we present to you our annual holiday show, and Alyssa is away today. Animal Voices is Vancouver's and Western Canada's only animal advocacy and vegan radio program, bringing you all the animal and vegan related news, events, interviews, lifestyle, and commentary you need to keep up to date on what's happening both locally and internationally. We at Animal Voices encourage the movement toward a world in which animals are treated with compassion and mercy and are afforded the respect that humans take for granted. This program can be heard every Friday from noon till 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and is also streamed live at coopradio.org and available as podcasts on iTunes and animalvoices.org after airing. So December has come upon us so quickly, and it's already time to be celebrating our annual winter holidays, whether it is Hanukkah or Christmas or Festivus that you celebrate. Two of the common themes that come with our celebrations are presents and food. So we will be presenting to you two main segments today that highlight those themes with a compassionate focus. Plus, we'll be concluding with our annual holiday tradition of performing an Animal Voices song for you at the end of the show. So please stay tuned for that. But for our first main segment, we'll be offering you our Animal Voices top 10 compassionate holiday gift ideas. If you want some fresh ideas that keep compassion in mind when giving presents to your loved ones, we have some suggestions that we want to offer as our gift to you. And for a feature interview today, we have longtime vegan cook and author Zell Allen on the show to talk to us about all about cooking and living vegan for the holidays. Zell has actually written a recently published book called Vegan for the Holidays, Celebration Feasts for Thanksgiving through New Year's Day. And I look forward to having her impart her knowledge onto us on how to host or be a guest at a successful holiday dinner where we can celebrate by minimizing suffering as much as possible. I've been really enjoying reading Zell's book, and there's so many recipes in it that I want to try out. And actually, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning last night making a dessert for you two, so haven't had a chance to give it to you yet. But darn, that was the point, was to eat the food from the book before we talked to the author so that we could say, wow, I really like that. So it's set, but we are so busy.
It'll be a preamble. Yeah. It can prepare us to eat later.
Exactly. Get us excited.
It's a hazelnut and cranberry bread pudding with a crème anglaise. So really, it looks yummy. I haven't tried it, but
it already sounds delicious.
So we can have that afterwards as our treat. That'll be lunch. So we actually have a copy of this book to give away to a lucky listener. It's Vegan for the Holidays. We'll be doing a draw to choose the winner of this book during next week's show. And to enter, all you have to do is either go to our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, or send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com and tell us what one of your favorite vegan dishes is to make or eat during the holidays. To be eligible to win, you must be able to claim your prize from the radio station in downtown Vancouver, and the deadline for contest entries is next Friday, December 28th at 9 a.m. We'll be announcing the winners live on next Friday's show, so good luck to everyone. And I just wanted to mention, too, if our listener from last week, Jamie, who won the vegan, very vegan Christmas cookie book, if he's listening, just want you to know I have emailed you with all the details, haven't heard back from you. Your book is here to pick up. So moving on, the holidays are coming. Can you believe it's only 4 days left before Christmas? I can't believe it myself. It's the 21st. Wow. So how are you both spending it? I just want to state that I'm actually looking forward to going to a Rawladays vegan potluck tonight.
Oh,
it's going to be an all-raw potluck with some raw friends and people that I know. And I'm not totally raw myself, but I really like making raw food. So actually, that's why I was up until I was making food for like 4 hours last night after midnight, and making. So I was trying to use up all the food in my fridge because I'm going away in a few days for the holidays. So So I needed to see what I had. So I was sort of waiting to see what should I bring to the potluck. And I had all these dishes that I wanted to actually make from the Vegan for the Holidays book, but I didn't have time last week, didn't have time this week, and now it's got to be raw. So I sort of changed up my recipes. I made a really delicious raw broccoli soup, and I've made it before. It's really yummy and so healthy too. I made my own almond milk from it, and then a really what turned out to be a really yummy raw tomato soup as well. And they actually taste good cold. They weren't cold. They were like sort of room temperature, and you can warm it up a little bit as long as it's not over
just 100, can't cook it
110 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, so I've got lots of soup to bring tonight. I hope people are in the mood for soup, and that's what I'm doing tonight. So what do you have for plans for the holidays?
Well, tomorrow I'm hoping to go to that Shut Your Traps event downtown. So that will be, you know, right. With Fur Bear Defenders.
That's an activist event.
Exactly. And I'll be talking more about that later. But yeah, I'm hoping to do that tomorrow. And, you know,
and that's how you're celebrating the holidays?
That's step one.
Okay.
I'm also going to be going to my parents for Christmas Eve dinner, and we're actually going to this year be doing it vegan, which is really exciting.
And that's different from previous years?
No one in my family is vegan except for me.
That's
so
amazing then. So how many people will be at this dinner?
It's just going to be a small, like, immediate family dinner on Christmas Eve. Christmas Day will be the big family thing, and that one won't be vegan, unfortunately. But yeah, Christmas Eve, really excited about that. I'll be bringing the vegan jackfruit pulled pork and a vegan lasagna, so that's really exciting.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah, and then otherwise, like I said, just Christmas with the family. What about you, Jenny?
I feel like we're living the same life. I'm also going to the Shut Your Traps event tomorrow, and I'm also making vegan dinner for my family. However, for the first year, it's just me and my dad, so it's a two-person vegan dinner. It'll be good, though.
That's great. Jenny, what mic are you on? Is it mic 3?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I'm going to turn off I'm turning off the buzzing mic. Well, that sounds fantastic. So I'm wondering, during the holidays, Jackie, for example, you said that you have to attend this non-vegan dinner. Mm-hmm. What are challenges for you to, like, everyone says the hardest thing about going vegan and staying vegan is social situations and social challenges. Do you two encounter that during the holidays?
I think the main thing is just, like, certain people are so unaware of what vegan really means, so they'll put butter in the mashed potatoes. Or
so you mean they're trying to cater to you?
They don't try to cater necessarily, but like they still have a big, you know, turkey carcass on the table, and so I bring my tofurkey, and you know, they usually just don't think about what they're putting in the food, and then I'm like, they're like, right. Oh, you can eat this. Well,
it's
no, I can't.
It's amazing how people just don't really think about what's in their food.
Exactly.
And then when you're vegan, like, you always think about what's
exactly.
in your food. I think that's maybe why we're, or maybe I shouldn't speak for myself, but I think a lot of vegans are kind of obsessed with food because we love our food.
Oh, yes.
And we love checking ingredients labels. I say that sarcastically, but no, seriously, it's like,
it's what you
can
do.
You imagine just not checking ingredients labels, even if you weren't vegan? Like, that,
no.
Like, not knowing what you're not knowing what chemicals
I like
or
to
what,
know what's
what
in
putting,
my food yeah
like byproducts you're
for
putting
sure.
in your mouth
sometimes they do check though. I had the opposite situation happen at a work dinner recently where they made special food for me and it was like great, there was a lot of vegan options, but then the dinner conversation was like, oh, I'll give you the weird food and you can sit over there where like the weird food is and we'll be normal people on this side and
you go
let's
sit
talk
in that
about
corner
eating animals
and we'll be that's a really great way to make you feel welcome to an event, isn't it? Yeah, we actually we have our annual, at my work, our annual Christmas party, you can call it, which is actually a really nice dinner. And we actually have it in January, but I call it the Christmas party. I think it's because they can't find a big enough venue for December. Mm-hmm. It's a huge, huge event because we've got like two departments at UBC that have amalgamated. And I went last year for the first time to this new venue, and it was absolutely delicious. It's at the Italian Cultural Center, so they cater it all. There was so much vegan food there that I could
great.
Eat. I just filled up my plate and I ate really well because sometimes at these functions, you know, where that's not the theme, you just really don't know what you're going to get. So I kind of felt like I had to fill up because,
and
like,
you actually,
wow.
You actually just
food.
Reminded me too, I do have a Christmas party for my work coming up this weekend as well. And
you work for the animals.
We'll see what kind of menu they have. Sometimes they're pretty good. They have like lots of salads and things, but some years it's just turkey and mashed potatoes.
Okay, well, we will chat more about the holidays later.
Drishti Point is a radio program featuring interviews about yoga, spirituality, and wellness. Our guests include yogis, authors, musicians, healers, and renowned spiritual teachers. Tune in Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. for your weekly dose of yoga wisdom and inspiration.
So for this year's holiday show first segment, we would like to present to you our Animal Voices Top 10 Compassionate Holiday Gift Ideas for 2012. I personally love the opportunity of during the holiday season or any other occasion for that matter to be able to spread your compassion by giving gifts to those who mean something to you to show that you care. We talk about animal compassion as an ongoing theme on the show here, but of course we humans are animals too, and it's always nice to receive a thoughtful gesture item, especially when it's something that extends compassion itself. So in giving a gift from the heart, you're paying forward that consideration, so to speak, especially when it's something that is also good for the animals. Also, in the context of spreading compassion via gift giving, I want to impress that keeping the earth in mind is important as well. I don't like the idea of mass consumerism and giving presents just because it's expected of you. Do it because you want to, and take this opportunity to bestow a caring gift to someone that they can truly appreciate and use in living a cruelty-free lifestyle. My evolution in gift giving has certainly come along this way, and I really try to give gifts that people will appreciate, but that will also keep in line with the ethics of doing good and with doing the least harm. That said, the holidays are also a good excuse to give good food, but we'll be getting to that shortly. So each of us have some compassionate gift ideas that we would like to share with you. I will start first with a few, because I'm a bookworm and I love just about any and all books that there are. That is my first suggestion, to give the gift of reading. And with the animals in mind, there are just so many wonderful book titles out there to share with your loved ones. Giving the gift of a book, I think, can be a fantastic method of animal advocacy, because you can give a book to someone that could really change their lives, such as the 25th anniversary edition of John Robbins' best-selling Diet for a New America book, which just came out in time for the holiday season, and it's an appropriate gift to give to anyone. A wonderful book that encompasses the whole story of the health, compassionate, and environmental reasons for shifting to a plant-based diet. I always call it a must-read for every human being, and it would be a great book to give to anyone in general. And actually, that reminds me, Jackie, I think I brought a copy for you today.
Oh,
because
great.
We were chatting
Yay.
About that recently.
Yeah, I'm excited to read
I collect
that.
These books, so if anyone wants one, chances are I'll have one to give to you. Also, if there are people on your gift-giving list who are interested in cooking, the holidays is a great time to give out gifts of cookbooks. And of course, by that I mean vegan cookbooks, because there are just so many beautiful vegan cookbooks out there now that not only offer a wealth of delicious cruelty-free recipes to try, but also make for scrumptious reading material as well. Some books that I can recommend just off the top of my head that are both fun to read and make food from and are just beautiful books are Hannah Kaminsky's Vegan Desserts book, Jenny Engel and Heather Goldberg's Spork Fed book, and Mimi Kirk's Live Raw book. I've actually done reviews on the shows from all these three books, so you can listen to them from our website, animalvoices.org, if you wish to get more info on them.
Can I also suggest another book, the book of all vegan books, which is How It All Began? It's a great book for anyone. It's got like lots of reading material as well.
I always recommend that book for a beginner.
Because that's great for a beginner, yeah.
It has a lot of good beginner tips in it, and the recipes are really easy to follow. Secondly on our list, gift certificates and gift cards. I love the idea of offering consumables and intangible items that people can enjoy and are easy on the earth. So why not get someone on your list a gift certificate to a fantastic vegan or vegetarian restaurant in their area that they otherwise wouldn't take the opportunity to go to. Everyone loves to eat, right? So a gift card to a natural food store would also be a great idea. It's just so much appreciated, I think, to get a gift card for a special treat where you can choose exactly what you want from that restaurant or that grocery store, which you might not otherwise spend the money on yourself. So, Jackie, you have some suggestions for us.
Yes. Well, I know charitable donations are not always the most exciting or well-received gifts, but for any person on your gift list who truly cares about animal rights or helping others, this can be a great option. A few groups that I would recommend include the Fur Bear Defenders, a wonderful local organization working to end the fur trade in Canada. You can find out more info on furbeardefenders.com. Another organization that I think is wonderful is Saints Sanctuary and Rescue in Mission in BC, and that helps rescue, care, and rehabilitate animals that and other senior animals or otherwise seen as unadoptable and have nowhere else to go.
I've heard that's a really great place. Have you been there?
I have been there, and it's wonderful. I mean,
it's really nice to donate or give the suggestions of mm-hmm. charitable donations for charities that you actually personally know, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, and so. I've been there. I've seen the animals, and, you know, they're in a great place because otherwise where would they be? They'd be euthanized probably. So, yeah, it's a great society. And they're also a sanctuary in the sense that the animals can happily just live out the rest of their lives there. But they do also adopt out animals to loving and appropriate homes. They rescue many different types of animals, including dogs, cats, pigs, rabbits, horses, cows, chickens, roosters, and goats, plus many others. And just another kind of sanctuary is the Hearts on Noses Mini Pig Sanctuary.
Another great place.
Exactly.
Also, they're both in Mission, right?
One's in Maple Ridge.
No, they're Mission.
Right?
They moved a few years ago to Mission.
Shows how much I know.
They're in the Fraser Valley.
Exactly. They're in the Fraser Valley. So they rescue, rehabilitate, and care for unwanted, injured, orphaned, abused, neglected, and abandoned mini pigs.
And that's just, I can personally recommend that place. I actually sponsor an animal there every month. Her name is Pearl. She's a pig. And I have been there before, and I did a day of volunteering there. It's a wonderful place. It's great to actually give a gift of a local charity as well.
It's wonderful. And I have to say, like, pigs always hold a special place in my heart.
Me too.
They're just so smart and
cute
and wonderful.
You've seen all the pig pictures on my Facebook page?
I have. So these groups I mentioned are just a few suggestions, but if you'd like to donate to another charitable cause, I recommend checking out humaneseal.org to make sure that the charity you're interested in does not conduct animal testing as part of their research.
I think it's also good to, there's a lot of charities that support human rights as well, which I think is part of animal rights. Humans are animals. Mm-hmm. So there's one great one called A Well-Fed World, and they support ending hunger for humans through vegan choices.
Okay.
But there's a lot of human rights charities out there that do use animals, and there was a show on Animal Voices a couple weeks ago that you can check out if you want to know more about why that might not be the best choice for
your
holiday.
We featured A Well-Fed World on there, and she told us exactly about that. That was from our Human Rights International Human Rights Day show.
Okay. And also I suggest some vegan goodies baskets. So baskets filled with various vegan goodies, sauces, various nuts, treats, cheeses, cheese alternatives, tempeh, and cookie items for the foodie on your list. You can also purchase many fun cosmetic and bath and shower baskets from Lush, and everyone loves Lush.
Love Lush. Most, and they even have a sign in their store, because as they're recently saying that most of their products are vegan.
Yes, most are, and they're all non-animal tested, so it's great. As I'm somewhat anti-consumerism, particularly in the extremes that people can go to over the holidays, I recommend making gifts yourself as much as possible. I know that can often take some more time and effort, but the right person mm-hmm. will appreciate it, and even if it doesn't turn out perfect. Plus, it shows that you've put some thought into your gift, and it's much more personal. Hemp necklaces are simple and fun to make. You can find instructions online if you've never made them before. And if you like to paint, you can always make paintings that are unique to the person and their likes. Knitting and sewing are also great options if you're so inclined. I'm not great at it, but I know a lot of people that are, so that's always a great option. Whatever you're making, just be creative and have fun, and it will show in your work if you enjoyed making it or not. And Allison, you said that you like to make some gifts over the holidays as well?
I like making, I used to make photo calendars a lot of our dog until she passed away.
Aww.
But that was always fun because I was always taking all these awesome pictures. Every year I'd make calendars of her. Framed photographs,
I
like to do that.
Yeah.
Photo books, I love doing things with pictures because it's so personal. Jenny, let's hear your suggestions.
Yeah, actually going off of that, I think it could be a great thing to make a non-tangible gift for someone, something really special. So you could write the person a poem or make them a song if you're so inclined, write them some prose, whatever your talents happen to be, as a way to really personally connect and get them something that's truly one of a kind. Those intangible things, you know, those are the best sometimes. And then also, I think another great gift idea is sometimes to make like a package for someone. So something I'm doing this year for some of my girlfriends is bad day survival guide package.
Love that idea. It's so original. Like, was that your own idea?
It occurred to me on the bus in Surrey last week. It was wonderful. It just came down like a lightning rod of inspiration. But inside, I'm going to put some frozen vegan cookie dough to, you know, whip up some cookies if you're having a bad day. And also a personal list of things I admire about the person to, you know, as a pick-me-up, and maybe some other inspirational words and quotes.
That's really sweet. I like that idea.
Yeah, and then so I think for the final suggestion that I was thinking of, it's really great to bake for people also. Vegan baked goods are always popular.
Yay, for sure.
So, you know, cookies are great because they keep well, and pretty much anything vegan is really awesome because all vegan food is food safe, so it can be stored. It doesn't have to be frozen or kept in the fridge all the time. You can usually keep it out, and it won't go bad or have any cross-contamination there, which is good. I also like to include the recipe whenever I send someone a baked good, because
then
they could make it themselves.
Because people often, when I bring food to events and that, they often say, oh, I want the recipe.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, like, I did some baking and brought some things to work, and people were like, this is vegan? Really? This is vegan? This is so good.
See, so that's...
And I love that kind of response.
Vegan,
I love
vegan
it.
Outreach. And that is the main reason why the majority of the gifts I give, like, you know, like, to family members, you know, I'll give them goodies, but I'll give them other things as well. But mainly, like, people like to eat, people love treats, and why not give them delicious, plant-based, cruelty-free? And this is, like, so every year I work at like six different places at the university, right? And I always bake, and as I was saying earlier, I think I baked like 500 cookies this year.
Wow.
10 different kinds, about 50 of each, and I packed the last of them last night, and you guys are getting some today.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I totally take them to my, like, non-vegan contacts throughout my work world and I say, these are vegan.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, they were so good. And my work is done.
And it's great too, because it's nice when they choose your vegan treats over all the other things that people are bringing in, or
that's
clients
have to make
are giving
sure
us.
They're really good, right?
Exactly.
And that's, I've got some staples that I use every year, but I also like to experiment, as you know from last week's book review. I was making all these different new cookies, and but I know what really works, like, because I've been doing this for years now. I know what works, I know what doesn't, I know what people really like, because I get
loves
the feedback.
Chocolate.
Everyone loves chocolate. People really like baklava, you know, and those are, like, I always make sure that I have components of that. The sugar cookies are always really good to have, because that's very Christmassy, and this year I wanted to do like a ginger type thing.
Okay.
So,
I've got, like, some of those. They're back here if you want one later.
Oh, excellent.
I think it's also good to be aware of other dietary constraints, because sometimes that can be nice. I mean, I'm used to being the vegan at the party, and there's nothing I can eat, so sometimes I'll also bring like a gluten-free treat or something that's nut-free if people have other allergies, so that people aren't limited by what I bring.
I think it's certainly good to be aware, like, if there's other... I always ask, like, I've asked you before, Jackie, do people have food intolerances? Not necessarily allergies, but food intolerances, or just don't like it or can't eat it. So for our ninth recommendation, I want to suggest another type of gift that isn't a physical thing, and it's also very unique and very animal friendly, and that is to give the gift of Colleen Patrick Goudreau's 30-Day Vegan Challenge to someone. As Colleen says herself, the 30-Day Vegan Challenge is a perfect gift for anyone and everyone interested in eating and living more healthfully and compassionately. And what could be a better gift than to guide your chosen recipients in their way to this lifestyle. The 30-Day Vegan Challenge gift is a month-long program that guides the participant one day at a time with recipes, videos, and all the tools they need to keep them on the path of living and eating better for the animals and for themselves. So it could very well change someone's life who you care about for the better, and it only costs $20 right now. It's on for a special deal from the regular $35. You can find out more about the 30-Day Vegan Challenge and purchase it from www.the30daveganchallenge.com. And then finally, for our 10th gift idea, I want to suggest the gift of a sponsorship of an animal at an animal rescue sanctuary. So for the person who doesn't need more stuff and who cares about animals, this could be a really special gift for them. There are many animal sanctuaries that run animal sponsorship programs, from Sanctuary and Hearts on Noses, just to name a few that come to mind. But the one that I would like to highlight today is Animal Aid, which is located in Udaipur, India. If you're a regular listener of the show, you may remember our interview with Claire, one of the founders of Animal Aid, that we did earlier in the year. I have been to this amazing sanctuary myself when I was in India this year. And one particular thing to note about this place is that the money stretches far greater at the sanctuary in India than it would in North America. So right now they are giving the opportunity to give a gift of a $100 sponsorship in the name of your loved one for this Christmas. Each sponsor will receive a personalized video with a special Merry Christmas Namaste from the animal aid caregivers to the person you're giving the gift to. This video will feature a day in the life of the new sponsored animal and will surely warm the heart of your gift recipient, showing the real difference that this money is making for one lucky animal's life in their name. And to find out more about Animal Aid and this holiday gift sponsorship program, and to view the most wonderful and touching video showing a lot of the work that they do for the animals, you can visit their website at www.animalaidunlimited.com. So I hope that people can take some of these suggestions for the holiday season if you still need some ideas for gift giving, or even just use them in the future for birthdays and other occasions. Getting a memorable gift is always a wonderful thing, but I think that giving the gift is even more meaningful when it comes to taking the time and thought to making it special. So happy gift giving, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Happy holidays.
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention you are listening to the Animal Voices radio show here on 100.5 FM CFRO Vancouver Cooperative Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
All right, guys, I have some events coming up for you. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm going to be hopefully attending this unless, you know, disaster strikes.
I'll be there.
Disaster's supposed to strike today.
It's I know, what I was getting at.
I don't care. I'll be there.
You'll be there. tomorrow, December 22nd, is Shut Your Traps Day of Action. So this Saturday, December 22nd, will be a historic day as animal defenders nationwide form a United Against Canada Goose during the height of holiday shopping. Every person who participates, no matter how far away, will make a huge difference in our ability to reach people, media, and the companies who would otherwise get away with the wholesale slaughter of millions of animals. The two main priorities are to disrupt holiday sales of Canada Goose products while drawing attention to the large and diverse network of people who oppose Canada Goose and fur down. Events and demonstrations are taking place all across Canada, so to find out more about events in your area, go to the Fur Bear Defenders Facebook page. And I know that the event actually in Vancouver will be taking place at the Vancouver Art Gallery, and I believe we're meeting there at 1:30, I believe, and it's going until 3. So my next event will be Buddha Rave, and that's on New Year's Eve, and that's a new wave of substance-free entertainment. Lose yourself in true celebration, experience the natural high of electrifying fusion beats with friends and friends-to-be under the brilliance of 1,000 glow sticks. Hey, it sounds like fun. Dance into 2013, the year of bliss. Enter 2013 with an enlightened spirit and enlivened mind. Indulge in energizing exotic drinks and organic vegetarian delights. This will take place New Year's Eve, starting at 9 p.m. until 2 a.m. at the Roundhouse Galleria in Vancouver. To buy tickets or for more info, go to buddharave.com. And then coming up, January 8th is Liberation BC Volunteer Night. That's taking place at the ING Cafe at 466 Howe Street in Vancouver from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. On another volunteer night with your friends and fellow activists, we'll be getting work done and having fun, and as always, yummy vegan snacks will be provided, so drop by anytime. And as I mentioned last week, in February this year, there will be Vancouver Animal Advocacy Camp, and that's February 23rd and 24th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the W2 Media Cafe on West Hastings Street. This is an opportunity for Vancouver activists to get together and learn from each other's experiences and build a stronger community of animal advocates. This will be a practical attendee-led event where you get to set the agenda and host discussions about what you want to talk about. Advance registration is required, and the cost actually has been determined. I believe that it is $20 for either just Saturday or Sunday, or $30 for both days.
That's a really good cost, too,
exactly,
for what you're getting.
Exactly, and I believe it includes coffee and breakfast or morning snacks or something.
They had donuts last year.
Exciting. Nice. Exciting. Yes, I'm really looking forward to going. Yeah, me too. So more information on registration is on their website, which is animaladvocacycamp.ca.
And then also please join the Facebook group that I started for it. If you look for Vancouver Animal Advocacy Camp, it's a Facebook group. It's a place where we can sort of join together as community beforehand and afterwards to keep the discussion going.
Great. So if you have an animal-friendly event that you would like to have announced on our show, please email us the details at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com, or you can post it on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver.
Great. Okay, so for our feature interview today, we have Zell Allen on the show, who is the author of the popular brand new cookbook entitled Vegan for the Holidays, Celebration Feast for Thanksgiving through New Year's Day. In addition to being a longtime cook and author of a previous cookbook called The Nut Gourmet, Zell and her husband Ruben publish a well-known online magazine, which you may have heard of, called Vegetarians in Paradise. It's a vegan lifestyle website that provides a wide range of resources for the vegan community. And because this is our holiday show today, Zell is here to speak to us and to impart her knowledge about living and cooking vegan for the holidays. Hello, Zell, and welcome to the Animal Voices show.
Hi there.
Hi. Sorry, I had the wrong button. I had a strange button pressed there. Welcome to the show. We can hear you now.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so thank you for coming on the show today to talk about your book in Cooking Vegan for the Holidays. It's been a, I've been a longtime subscriber, actually, and reader of Vegetarians in Paradise, so it's nice to finally get to meet you. I'm also a huge fan of holiday vegan cookbooks, and so I'm happy to have you on the show to speak about all good things to do with celebrating a vegan holiday with food. To start, can you describe for us your book, Vegan for the Holidays, and the different holiday occasions that are covered in it?
Sure. This is the kind of book that you look forward to taking off the bookshelf that once a year when you know the holidays are coming. And it's got, this is not a how-to cookbook. I mean, it's not a how-to be vegan cookbook. It's not a how to stock your pantry or what the vegan lifestyle is all about. This gets right down to the nitty-gritty of good stuff to cook for the holidays. So it's divided into chapters, one for Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and the New Year. So it basically, in each chapter, I've got everything from appetizers, soups, salads, main course foods, and side dishes, and desserts, of course, and some really neat little beverages for the holiday.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I've really been enjoying reading it myself, and I have a whole bunch of recipes that are bookmarked, and I wanted to make them this past week. I didn't have time, but last night I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning making the hazelnut cranberry bread pudding with crème anglaise so that we could taste test it here on the show, actually before the show, but then we forgot to because we were so busy recording a song. So that's what we're going to have for lunch after the show. So it looks really yummy, by the way.
It's a very good thing.
Yeah. So in the book, you say that your aim is to offer vegan holiday foods that are just as delicious, innovative, and elegant as their hallowed meat-based counterparts. Can you expand on this thought and talk to us about what it means to you to cook delicious plant-based foods for your friends and family that everyone can enjoy and where no animals have been harmed?
Well, that's the nice part about it. You know, you can eat absolutely guilt-free. And the foods are just so, so wonderful, especially when omnivores come to the table. And what they notice most of all is how colorful the foods are. They're beautiful colors. Nature is wonderful for us. And we just go with the flow of nature and eat those wonderful colors of the holiday season. So what I've attempted to do is bring the special foods that are just unique to this autumn and winter season, things like cranberries and sweet potatoes and persimmons and pomegranates, chestnuts, squashes. Am I making you salivate at all?
Oh, yeah. I actually have a bag of chestnuts at home. I can't remember. I think I was going to make I can't remember, but something that required a bunch of chestnuts, which I've never actually made before. Do they keep for a long time? Because now I can't make the recipe for a few weeks. Or is that going
to
be okay?
Be sure to keep them in the coldest part of your refrigerator.
Thank you. I haven't been doing
are
that.
They in the are they in the shell?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Keep them in the coldest part of the refrigerator. They should do just fine.
Good tip.
Allow them a little circulation and put them in a mesh bag or don't keep them all bunched up in a plastic bag because they will mold.
Well,
so they need a little breathing room.
Okay. Well, thank you for that tip. But moving on, I really like how you use all these different delicious. I mean, the reason that I made the dish that I made today is because it had nuts in it. It had cranberries in it. It looked really festive, and it just, as you said, the food just looks really beautiful. So I understand that in writing this book, you had a desire to create more centerpiece recipes that stand apart with bold flavors and an appealing presentation. Can you tell us about your take on creating main centerpiece dishes that replace the dead animals on the table and will still impress any eater, be they an omnivore or herbivore? What is the process that you take when it comes to making up these kinds of dishes?
Well, I like to create something that has terrific eye appeal. Of course, it's got to have good flavor,
but it's got to look good, too.
But it's got to look good. Yeah. So I do several things that are baked in a springform pan, such as the pistachio sweet pea tort, and I also have the savory chickpea yule log that's formed into a kind of a long log. It's just really attractive to look at. And, of course, you've got to garnish them with a little something special like the green herbs of the season. And how about decorating with colors like sliced persimmons or tangerines, bright oranges, red bell peppers, even cranberries. Whole cranberries make great little garnishes.
They're just so festive, too, for the holidays. Cranberries is
exactly
where it's at.
It really is. And the thing about it is that after Christmas, you won't find much around in the way of cranberries. The stores don't sell much,
okay.
So they toss them out. They toss the leftovers out because people simply don't buy them. But my little trick is to buy several bags, put them in the freezer, and they keep wonderfully for an entire year.
That's right, because normally when I need cranberries during the year, I have to buy them in the frozen section. Why not just buy the fresh ones and freeze them? That's actually a great idea. So I don't see any use of mock meats in the book, but rather you make use of hearty winter vegetables, as we've discussed, and other wholesome plant foods to create your dishes. You've kind of touched on this already, but what kinds of ingredients do you like to use to create your dishes? It sort of seems... I guess maybe just for this book specifically, are you really going winter themed here with the root vegetables? And I'm seeing cranberries and raisins, and you seem to use a lot of pears too. Like, what are some of your favorite ingredients to use in general?
Chestnuts for sure.
Yeah.
I make a garlicky chestnut butter. If you've seen that recipe, it's easy and so
I think
delicious.
That's really unique, too, because you're not seeing a lot of chestnut recipes anywhere in vegan or non-vegan books, I don't think. So that's one unique thing about your book. You use beetroot a lot, too, it seems like, in sweet potatoes.
Oh, they're wonderful for the season. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, beets somehow aren't as exciting in July, and sweet potatoes not so much in July, but boy, this season, you want them because they're hearty. They keep us warm, and we want to be warm this season. And
that's exactly how I feel about it, too. It's like, I think this book even looks more delicious to me now reading it during the winter season, because there are all these warming, just warming and comfort foods that you just want to eat when it's nice and cold outside. So what are some of your favorite recipes in the books, ones that we absolutely must try out?
Well, let's see now. If you're a pumpkin fan, of course, Williamsburg pumpkin pie that we've already done for Thanksgiving. How about a spiced cranberry nog? Or how about something like wassail for Christmas? This is a great little beverage with a long tradition.
What is that?
It's made with apple cider and ale. a dark ale. Very, very old English style, nice warming beverage. Or if you don't want to have the alcohol, you can do a hot mulled grape or a pomegranate punch, or a hot spicy cranberry punch if you like something warm. For main dish, I'll tell you what I'm going to make for Christmas.
Yeah, let's hear.
The tomato pine nut pie with sweet potato and nut crust. This is really unique. I take sweet potatoes, cook them, mash them, mix them with a little bit of tofu and some ground almonds, press them into a pie pan, bake it just a little bit, and then layer tomatoes and pine nuts and a little bit of green onions and a homemade Parmesan, which I also have in the book. And it is a gorgeous pie. Since I'm going to have several people over, I'm going to make it in a, probably will double or triple it, make it in a large rimmed baking sheet so that it goes a little further and everybody can have a nice generous serving.
Well, would you say that your recipes are healthy for the most part? And is this something that you purposely set out to do to make healthy food during the holiday season? And how does one maintain some balance in eating healthy food during the holidays without foregoing enjoyment?
Well, I think it's okay to splurge a little bit. You know, this is sort of an indulgent season, so a little dessert here and there is really okay. But basically, if you stick to the whole foods,
right?
And this is, I did have a focus of making it healthy. Actually, 80% of the recipes in here are oil-free. So there are a lot of people that are eating a lower calorie, going oil-free for health. But of course, when you stick with whole foods, you know, you can't go wrong, and no little furry creatures or anything like that.
I don't want furry creatures in my food. I'm noticing, like, it's just really just wholesome ingredients. I mean, not to say that you're not using bread. I see some, that's what I used in my bread pudding today, for example, although it was whole wheat bread.
And
you're
whole
not,
wheat bread,
you are
yes.
using grains. I mean, wild rice here. I mean, it's all whole food. And I think you really just can't go wrong. So I kind of feel like the theme behind this book is it's very wholesome. It's very comforting food. It's going to make you full and it's going to make you satisfied. But yet it's all whole food ingredients. So you really can't go wrong with not a lot of sugar either. So you really can't go wrong with your diet on there if you're looking to eat healthily. So let's talk about social situations during the holidays, since that is what the holidays are all about, that and food, of course. You say that non-vegetarians dining at your table are always amazed at the copious array of foods, the savory flavors, and the lavish presentation that you offer up. What are some tips that you can suggest for hosts for hosting a vegan holiday meal that will be sure to impress and please everyone?
Well, I think serving something very hearty, made with legumes. I use all kinds of beans and lentils and green split peas. Making a hearty main dish, for one thing. You don't want people going away thinking, oh, all she served was salad.
For sure, not, yeah.
It doesn't impress anyone.
It doesn't reflect well on us.
Right, no, not at all. But also a nice variety. So I'll start 2 or 3 days ahead and do a little prep so that I can have a very wide array of food. And when things taste good and they look good, nobody goes away saying, oh, that was, you know, unsatisfying. No, nobody's ever been disappointed. Matter of fact, they often say, gee, I didn't know vegan food could taste so good or be so beautiful. We teach vegetarian cooking also in public libraries, believe it or not, and usually, and it's free to the public. And so we get a wide variety of people. We had 43 people show up at our last cooking class.
That's huge. Wait,
it was huge.
What city do you live in again?
We live in Granada Hills, California.
The LA. Okay, so you're in a large metropolitan area, but still, I don't think we'd get that many in Vancouver, which is also a pretty large and veggie-friendly place. That's wonderful.
If you offered a free hands-on cooking, this is free hands-on
cooking
free, class.
Sure.
Yep. The library pays me, and the public can come and enjoy. We broke it into about 7 stations, and boy, did they cook and eat well. It was so festive. Even set the table with a Christmas tablecloth. We just did the whole scene, and it was delightful. no one came away saying, oh, I was disappointed in the class. People often say, this is really special. This is the way we should be eating all the time.
Right.
Yeah, because they're introduced to new vegetables that they may not have ever eaten before.
Well, speaking of tradition, you know, our holidays are so ingrained in tradition, and people think that they have to have this big turkey centerpiece in the, you know, in the middle of their table, and that you know, they have to do that, and that there has to be certain food items there. Can you talk about how traditions can evolve and change, and maybe how they should evolve and change to really realizing that there are better options out there for both humans and animals?
Well, you know, good food kind of creates memories. Don't you think?
Yeah.
If you serve something that is really delicious, people will remember it. Sometimes they'll remember it for an entire year and say, gee, I remember that Christmas pudding or the Christmas carrot wreath that you served. That was so good. And they want to have it again,
right,
and again and again.
Because they've been thinking about it all year, and now it's time again.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, maybe little cookies. Christmas is all about cookies. And
yeah.
Then you create a wonderful appetizer. I've got an almond and olive stuffed Brussels sprouts recipe. Wonderful little appetizer. And it's pretty to look at. It's delicious. And people remember the tasty things and the colors and stuff, and that's what creates the memories, and that creates tradition year after year. That's what they want to have.
So I think it's a matter of what you're seeing. It's a matter of creating new memories, which will then in turn create the new traditions. And then, you know, I think, you know, we're all about evolution and evolving. We're not eating the same things that we were eating 2,000 years ago, really. It's about, and neither do we have to keep eating the turkey or the ham or whatever people are eating at their dinner tables. And I think I think it's just, as you're saying, like having these cooking classes that you do, it's opening people's minds to new ways of eating. So for the vegans and vegetarians attending holiday meals that may not be vegetarian, what are some tips that you can offer for them to ensure that they are taken care of as well?
Well, they don't feel neglected, that's for sure. Sometimes we'll sprinkle a little homemade Parmesan on something, and they get that Parmesan flavor. Also, you know, basically, when you use basically the same foods that you would normally eat at an animal, based meal, for instance, cranberry sauce is always there, side dishes are always there. The only thing that really changes in a major way are the main dishes. And they're so hearty and flavorful that you really don't need to do anything unique. I serve them proudly. I'm proud to be a vegan, really. As a matter of fact, I feel like we're kind of the new elite of the country,
so,
of the world, really.
That's great. I was actually asking like about vegans and vegetarians who go to meals at, say, an omnivore's house. So what can they do? Should they bring a dish maybe? Or how can they prepare themselves so that they're not disappointed at an omnivore's gathering?
I would definitely tell the hostess that you are vegan, if they didn't already know that. And I would say, I'm going to contribute something to your lovely meal that we can all share. And make it large, make enough that you can have a good hearty serving and there'll be plenty for everyone else. And that often helps. Maybe you might want to bring two dishes. And just let the hostess know in a nice way that you want to contribute something. Not that I'm going to bring something because you don't have anything for me, you know, you don't want to do that.
That's kind of how I always feel. Like, I always assume, like, oh, there's not going to be anything I can eat. I'll just bring my own food or eat beforehand.
Well, you know, people are often very willing to accept dishes from other people. They're happy to have a little contribution because it sometimes takes the pressure off them, too. And so means that you'll be taken care of, and they'll be relieved. In many cases, they'll be very relieved that you've not put the task on them, because oftentimes they just don't know what to cook for vegans. It's getting better, I think. People are getting a little more familiar with the word vegan. It's appearing in mainstream media these days. So we're making an impact. That's for sure.
So finally, please tell us about Vegetarians in Paradise, the online magazine that you started and maintain with your husband, which goes to over 100,000 visitors each month.
Mm-hmm. This was our effort to connect to the vegan community. And we started out just having a few little items on our magazine, and it grew over the years. So now one of our biggest features is, of course, the Recipe Index and Cooking with Zelle. I do a monthly recipe. Also, there's Ask Aunt Nettie. Aunt Nettie is a country old-timer who does very unique little, very homey, very comfy, very inexpensive recipes. For basically, it's recession grub for Aunt Nettie. But we also have things like Vegetarian Basics 101, Protein Basics, Calcium Basics. We have an events calendar. We do restaurant reviews. We do book reviews. We go to farmers markets and write up the foods that are in season. We list farmers markets. It's basically a great resource. We also have Yellow Pages that list services and companies that do all kinds of things for the vegan community. We have a beans and grains chart. We have a what do you call it, heirloom gardening section. And we have a little section of guest contributors called Words from Other Birds. And so it's just an all-around great resource with a lot of links. And one of the other features we have is called On the Highest Perch, where we do a little background information about specific foods, like carrots or apples or nuts and that kind of thing. So it's just a good place to come for information.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Zelle, to speak about being vegan and cooking vegan during the holidays. Check out Zelle's popular website at vegparadise.com, and I encourage you to check out Zelle's book, Vegan for the Holidays. And remember, we are giving away a copy of this book to a lucky listener, so stay tuned to hear the details again on how to win this book. Happy holidays, Zelle. Take care.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to the Animal Voices radio show on 100.5 FM Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So how to win the book? All you have to do is go to our Facebook page. I've started a topic there where you can put your entry. So all you need to do is comment and just say what one of your favorite vegan dishes is to make or to eat during the holidays, and that'll be your entry. You can also email us if you prefer at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. And the deadline for contest entries is next Friday, December 28th at 9 a.m. We'll be doing the draw next Friday on the show. Next week's show will be a bit of a jump from the usual. I'll be on Christmas vacation, and Alyssa and Jackie will be presenting an animal advocacy-themed all-music show for you. We here at Animal Voices modestly ask you to keep connected with the Animal Voices with us via the World Wide Web, and you can do so by signing up on our Facebook page, which is Animal Voices Vancouver. You can join us on Twitter at Animal Voices YBR, and please do send us your suggestions and comments about the show either on Facebook or via email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. Also, please do check out our website at animalvoices.org. So to close the show, we have, it's going to be a live song. Hey, ladies, we're going to do it live. The computer fell apart while I was
awesome.
Doing that interview, so it fell apart.
Wonderful.
So can't play our free recording right now. We are going to do it live.
This is a lovely little holiday tune dedicated to all the listeners out there. We're going to have hit everyone with some vegan Navidad right now. And
it's going to work out.
Yeah,
even though we had to practice it about 10 times beforehand before we got it right.
I'm playing this with Jason Mraz's guitar pick, so his vegan powers will help us.
Okay. We'll get through it.
Do you need to do a little sound check first?
How does that sound? Is that
sounds
twinkling in your ears?
Yeah, sounds awesome. Okay, I've got my maracas.
All
Let's
right.
do it.
Okay. 5, 6, 7, 8.
In Navidad. Begin Navidad. Begin Navidad. Navidad. Thinking Navidad.
Voices.